And you think about that. And then you think about their experiences in life and their accomplishments. And I was sitting at their graduation. I really wrestled over this. And I was sitting there and I was watching everybody. And the Lord said to me, he said, it'll be like this one day. Will you be on that stage? Will you be in the clothes that I'm going to give you? Will you accomplish these accomplishments? Because you can. And see, we make a big deal. We really should. On life's accomplishments. Because he wants us to. But there's no greater accomplishment than to be on that stage. And he calls your name. How in the world could anything compare to that? Can you imagine that? And we celebrated that, you know, we think it's just so many years of school, we kind of add that up, but it all starts when they're little. It's not just school years. It's babies when they're, you offer them up to God and you say, Lord, we want your hand upon their lives. You guide, you direct. And sometimes we fail to realize how many times, can you imagine if you sat down and tried to count how many times life could have went so different if it wouldn't have been for God, if it wouldn't have been for his hand of mercy. And I think about how he tries to protect us. And he gives the energy, the wellness, everything, the mind, and we put all those things into motion, and then we have accomplishments. Because they don't just give that stuff. You can't sit home and you can't do nothing and get what they have accomplished. This is not going to happen. They've got kids their same age who didn't get to wear the gown. Friends that they know, they didn't get that. And it's not that the system's against you. It's not that God's against you. God's not against you. He's for everybody. But the sad thing is in order to wear the gown, to put that robe on, you got to actually do what he's asked of you. They had to actually do it as much as they didn't want to. Not everybody wants to do everything that God expects of them. It's not just the facts. Sometimes we're tired. But it was asked of us. And if they wouldn't have followed and just pushed themselves, even when you didn't want to, they would have never accomplished this. You know what's a big help? It's when on the other end of that, when the parents and family and friends says, hey, go. You got to go. You push them. And you're pushing them for what? Success. To succeed. You're not against them. Even though they might feel, why are you so hard on me? Why are you pushing me so much? Give me a break. It's the same thing in God. It's up to us to say to people, hey, you got to go. You got to keep faith, be faithful. That's why we're here today. It's to encourage one another. It's to say, you know what, we can make it in this. But the reality is this. If you don't listen, you don't wear the gown. That's troubling to me. And you have to ask yourself, just like the Lord asked me. He said, one day, as I was sitting, I was just sitting there looking around, listening to everybody and all the... There was some hoorah in there. And there should have been. They should be. But will I be on that stage? Will it be a hoorah? Will it happen? It can only happen if we're faithful. You got to be faithful to the task. If you do that, it's going to be incredible. And so I appreciate the fact that we can have accomplishments in life. And God very much wants us to have. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to learn. He wants us to be educated. He desires all those things. But we cannot lose sight at the greater prize. The greater prize that they are both pressed toward is to continue in life, to one day wear the crown. Isn't that amazing? And so I want to pray for them this morning, and I want you to stand with me, and then we're going to believe the Lord will continue to instruct them to do what's right, to accomplish the task that's set before them. As they further their education, whatever field that may be in, we know that God will give them the same strength He gave them to accomplish this task. See, one part in life has been accomplished, and you step into the next part. And I can tell you one thing about God, He's faithful in every part. No matter what stage in life you are, He's faithful. He's true to His word. So, Father, we thank You. We thank You for Marianne and Ethan. We thank You for their lives. We thank You for their accomplishments. And, Father, most of all, we thank You, Lord, that in their heart, their greatest desire is to be on that stage one day. In His face they will see. There's no greater words in Scripture than the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." No greater. We all hope and long to hear those words. And I pray, Lord, as they pursue the next chapter in their life, that the page won't turn until they have placed their entire life in Your hands as You assist them to take the journey that's set before them. I thank You, Lord, for their lives. I thank You for their accomplishments. I thank You for keeping Your hand on them where they're healthy. Thank You for that. You're so good. And I pray, Lord, that You would there would be an extension by the power of Your Spirit, Lord, to direct them into their future. We give You the glory. We give You the praise. And we thank You, Lord, for everything You do. And we honor You with everything that's in us. We give You the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless y'all. Love y'all.
Love you.
Thank You, Lord. What a great God. Amen? Well, we have, seems like it's been forever that we haven't been on our series on the kingdom. I'm going to touch a little bit. I don't know how far we'll go, what we'll get to accomplish here this morning as far as scripture and slides. But there's a few things I want to put to you thinking to give some thought on. I was just thinking about Thursday night in the Bible study. And if you, as Brother Josh exhorted, you have to listen to that in order to understand what's laid out in those scriptures. You have to listen to it. So if you haven't listened to it, please do so. Because it's going to be, even the things I'll say this morning is not going to have as much clarity to you without listening to that. Because I am saying things based on or built off of that Thursday night Bible study, looking at repairing the breach. And that was the concern that was posed in the scripture, that there are some things we have to do and understand about God, approaching God. It's gotten to the point where we think we can approach God because we think we can. Well, you can do things. You can go to church. That's an approach toward Elohim. There's no doubt about it. Because it comes with that. It kind of says that. And people think that in their minds, even if I go to church, I'm approaching Elohim. I'm getting closer to Him. Prayer is an approach to Elohim. Reading the Scripture is an approach. Why? Because it's His words. If you don't read the Scripture, you're reading something else. You're not approaching. But if you take that, you're saying, in a sense, you're making a statement that I'm pushing closer to Him. Well, I said on Thursday that you could do all of those things. Those things could be something that you do. But you can miss the encounter. You can do those things, but miss the encounter. Because if you do them because you feel like that's an obligation on your part. Remember he said in Isaiah, he said, you do the feast. It's not that you don't do those things. You do those things, but you've missed the whole point in why I requested for you to do it. So if you do it because you feel like I got to fulfill the obligation that's on me, I'm obligated. As we can say, well, as Christians, we have a certain obligation. And so we'll say we list those obligations. One is Bible reading. We read our Bible on a daily basis. We attend church somewhere, somehow. We attend in a church. We worship the Lord. We have a melody in our hearts. So we have some obligations. We feel like that's what I should do. But you could do all of those that I just mentioned and still miss the encounter. And that's something that bothers me. If you can do the things that he's asked and miss the encounter, why is that? How is that even possible? He said you keep the fast, but you don't get the benefit. Remember what I said? You keep it, but you don't get what's coming. And there's a reason. The reason is this. In your life, you know what is going on inside of you when you approach the Lord. You know it. Is it to make you feel better, Him feel better, or both of them? You know that. Or is it to spend time with Him? Do I want to spend time with Him? I just want to spend time with you. So I was thinking about all that stuff from Thursday, and on Friday, I'm on my way down to the marina in the morning, early in the morning. And I just got finished going over a quick study that morning. I have some scripture that I really wanted to go over and read. And before I went to bed, I read over those verses of scripture and I laid down. The last thing I remember going over before I fell asleep was those scripture. And I just said, Lord, whatever it is you want me to get out of this, I can get. I always say, look, these are the little things that I say to the Lord. I say, God, you can give them to me in my dreams. You can awake me. You can give me a vision, whatever it is. But I was going to sleep. And the Lord wanted me to go to sleep. So I put it down. I went to sleep. Got up the next morning. And when I woke, I was thinking about them same things. And I got ready. I got in my vehicle. And I was on my way down. And the Lord shared this with me. He said, what if you were told by a physician, you went into the physician, and the physician examined you, looked at everything, run tests, and said, listen, I hate to tell you this, but from my standpoint of what I'm looking at, you have 7 years to live. And then the question was posed, would you change anything you're doing? Would there be a list of people maybe you'd add to a list that you'd like to see, talk to, visit? Think about that. And I said, well, Lord, that's something to think about. It really is. And I was thinking about it. I continued my drive. I'm driving. And the Lord shared with me, he said, you know, some people wouldn't change anything. They wouldn't change anything. I said, well, that's troubling. Let me pose it to you this way. What if the Lord returns within 7 years? Just posing this to you. I can't give you dates or times or anything. I'm just posing this to you. If he returned in 7 years, what would you change? Would you do anything different? Would you say, I have 7 years of my life left, and I want to spend some time with my wife, my husband, my children. I want to spend time with family and friends. I want to go some places. I want to do some things that I've always wanted to do. If you knew the Lord was going to return, would you say, you know, I want to really be faithful to read my Bible. I want to make sure that I attend as much church as I possibly can. I know that I have this time. This is the frame that I'm in. I have this time. That's it. And he's coming. Would you change anything? Would you really sit down and refocus life? Would you really sit down and say, you know what? What am I really planning for? I'm driving. Now I'm on the Marina Road, and I'm not far from turning in to the marina. And it bothered me a lot. A lot. Because when I got closer to the marina, I become emotional about it. Because I was thinking about those scriptures. I was thinking about how God cares so much for us. How much he loves us. And that he structured everything. Everything he did by giving his word and the structure of how he sets up authority. Everything was designed for us to just spend time with him. That was the whole structure. He created in the very beginning this wonderful, wonderful paradise. And he made it in such a way that all man had to do was keep it. That's it. He made the animals and everything. He designed it in such a way that nobody had to tend to them. They weren't eating each other. They were just there for the enjoyment of man. That's what they were there for. Anything they needed was there for them. But he says to man, he says, all I want you to do is keep it. Isn't that something? Did man have to work for his food? No. Can you imagine that, guys? How many, in some weeks, you'd appreciate just a little bit more time to spend with God because you're just gone, 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 gone. Think about that. And I can speak on this. I can speak on this because I'm not to sit behind the desk in the pastor's office and just trying to figure out what I'm going to preach on Sunday. I'm out there with you. I know what it is to be going, 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 but there's a responsibility we have, and you can't. It's not going to happen unless you're out there going and doing it, because the scripture says that's part of the curse. You have to work for the bread, right? But by God's design, it never was intended. So to do the things that you do, you set goals and they set goals, they accomplish these things. To do what you set to do, how many of you know you got to plan that out? Somebody, you know, some people say, well, I never set no goals. Oh, you have. How many in here own a car? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand if you have a car, truck, whatever it is. All right, keep your hand up if it's not paid for. I said, keep your hand up if it's not paid for. Everybody put their hand down. I'm about to say, man, what happened here? All right, who has a house? Keep your hand up if it's not paid for. Think about it. That's goals. Is there anything wrong with it? No. It's goals. But now that you set them goals, you're going to have to do a certain amount of things to accomplish them. You will have to do those things to accomplish that. Do you understand? This was not trying to see, you know, and sometimes we hesitate. I'm going to raise my hand. Pastor's going to get. Listen, I'm just saying you set goals, right? How many have more than one child? If they're already out of the home, well, let me rephrase that. if they're on their own, put your hand down. All right? You see? How many know you have a responsibility with children?
Yes, we
right?
Do.
What do you have to do? Hey, your little ones, they can't go do for themselves. They're little. So what do? That's a goal you set. You set that goal and you say, you know what? There they are, they're mine. I'm a make and provide for them. So how many already can see if you got little ones and a house and a car? And now everybody here in here that likes to eat, raise your hand. Now put your hand down if you don't like to eat every day. You get my point? All right. So now we know everybody here has made goals and have responsibility, and we got to do something to accomplish them goals. And it's not somebody else that we should think has to come and make a way for us to accomplish the goals that we set. How many get that so far? Now that is what we did in life. Because you really set that bar. You the one decided what color, how fast, what size, how many bedrooms, how many children. All of that stuff that we participated in, and we set that goal. Now we got to accomplish that. In God, by His design, He says, what I want you to do, I'm creating you to hang out with me. Now we got to accomplish all of this. And when you get saved, you also got to accomplish the hanging out with God. So now you got to balance that. How many understand it takes some prayerful consideration how to balance that? But I want to tell you, you can. I know the devil wants you to believe that you got to give up one or the other. That's the trick. Nobody in here want to give up your children. You don't want to give up the place you're staying in. It's where you going to stay? You don't want to give up your vehicle. How you going to get around? And nobody in here is giving up your food. And we need all those things. Yet he says this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if I had 7 years to live as a believer, what would I change? What would I actually change? I'd sit down and change. Let me tell you what's the issue with why people struggle so much with just everyday life. You need to sit down and you need to operate your life like this year could be the year that the Lord returns. That's how you have to do it. And you got the adjustments you need to make, you just make those. And you work toward those goals of accomplishments that you get yourself ready for His return. That's what you do. And you use every bit of time you possibly can to give yourself the information necessary to grow stronger in the Lord, to get closer to Him. And it's very possible. We live in an information age that is absolutely nothing that anybody could even plan to have. It's absolutely amazing to me. that we can have so much at our fingertips at any given time. Mounds of information. What do you do with that? You prayerfully consider that you go into every research, whatever you're doing, with prayer. And say, God, I just want what you want me to have. I want to retain what you want me to retain. Everything else can take no root in my life. Because if you get bogged down with nonsense, you're going to have a very difficult time spending time with God. You're going to spend more time trying to filter through the nonsense. And I don't have that kind of time. You understand? I don't have that. I'm talking about me. I don't have that kind of time to filter through nonsense. So I let the Spirit of the Lord guide me and direct me and lead me down paths that's going to be healthy to my relationship with the Lord. And that happens because you humbly submit to the Lord that you know for a fact that you don't know everything. The worst thing you can ever think is you know it all. You approach the Scripture, Lord, I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to know something. Every time I read, I'm looking for something that I don't know. And I ask God, give me insight, because if you don't, now, what is God going to be doing this whole time? He's going to be working on your relationships that you don't have yet. Your encounters that you don't know about yet. You see, in the midst of you doing everything you're doing, if you pursue the fact that you want to spend time with God, God will work on your behalf. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What we've been talking about. The kingdom. And his righteousness. Then these things. What things? The verses before you read in Matthew there. The verses before, he's talking about the essential things of life. You know that house we talked about? That car you got to drive? How you got to provide for your children? The food you got to eat? Those things shall be added unto you. Who believes God knows how to add? Do you believe he knows how to add? I believe that. Well, this is the trick from the enemy. He'll come to you and he'll take the things that appear to be what you need to do because you have set those goals, and he'll start moving them around in different priorities. And he'll get you to look in that direction that, oh, man, I got, you don't understand. I can't pray because I have to do this. I can't go to church because I have to do this. And God wants me to take care of course he does. See, you're saying the right thing, but the wrong way. Give me one of those things that God's going to take second place to. And you wouldn't want to go tackle. I know I wouldn't. There's no way I'd want to go into trying to figure out how I'm going to have financial success to accomplish my goals without the help of God directing me. There's no way I want to try to bring my children up without the help of God. I just wouldn't want to do it. You see? So he's saying all those things I want you to do. But if you let me be first and showing you how to do it, you're going to do them right. How many know that the blessings of God are real? Then they're real. There's no joke. But it's a passion for God. I want you to know. Maybe we're just going to do some life lessons and some training this morning. Because I'm going to tell you a lot. This is what we're going into. You don't have to quit what you're doing. Because that's what accomplishes your goals that you set. If you really have a passion for God, he'll show you and direct you how to be sensitive and quickly hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Well, God ain't getting nothing. I can tell you, if you're not getting nothing from God on a weekly basis, you cannot be listening. There's no way a man who gets their priorities right with God can let any kind of work or activity, or any responsibility, child rearing, anything, get in the way with their spending time with the Father. If you do it by the prescribed way, you're going to be successful. What people do, though, they say, you know what, I just feel bad, I ain't spending time with God, then you get guilty. So I'm going to quit what I'm doing. Well, you go and quit, and you go spend time with God, and your bills come in. And then you go, what in the world I just did? Well, you did the wrong thing, is what you did. The wrong thing, but I spend time with God. How can that be wrong? You see? That's the trouble people get themselves in. Well, I'm focused on God. You couldn't have been focused on God because he just said, don't do that. Because I'm not, there ain't no heavenly ATM machine where you can just go and get you something out because you fasted. And this might make sense to everybody, but Thursday night, if you were here, you understand that. Because that's not how you get it. Well, I did something, now I got to get a blessing. No, remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to be in right standing with God daily. Seek to be in right standing with God. I don't know. You might struggle with a lot of things, but if you're in right standings with God, you're going to have better insight. The information that God wants you to share with others is going to be clear. How many of you ever read and you studied and you're still not clear to you? You say, man, I don't know what to say. You got to trust God. You start trusting God and you're going to get out of the fact that you won't be saying, I can't no more. Because you're trusting. It don't matter what meeting you go into. It doesn't matter who it is. You let God do it. Let God build your relationship, and it's absolutely amazing. And he could do that for us, but it's up to us to pursue the kingdom. You pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness and being in right standings with God, amazing things happen. So how do I do this? Well, you ought to practice this. You ought to do it on a daily basis. If what you've been doing hasn't brought some change or success for you, you got to quit doing that. That's number one on your list. You quit doing that. Because if you think you're going to get a different result doing the same thing, that's absolute insanity. There's no possible way you're going to get a different result doing the same thing you've been doing after you know you got no results from it. So you got to change that. Sometimes we want to change, but we don't know how to change. That's when you go to the Lord and say, God, how can I change this? How can I make a difference in my life? What can I do? You know what the urgency button, when you press the urgency button, is going to be based on the fact that you believe in your life, you really believe that you're preparing yourself for that day when the Lord returns. That's what you're preparing for. So if you're getting up every day and you're just trying to fix what's up on your plate for the week to come, naturally, that's exactly what you're going to do. Fix what's on your plate for the week to come. You got everything planned around those times. You got a calendar. How many's got a calendar and use a calendar? You got days marked on a calendar. How many's ever done that? Well, you're going to look at that. You're going to look at that calendar. You're going to see about Monday. Monday's coming, right? When's Monday? Tomorrow. It's coming. We're going to see what's going on. What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? You're going to look at that and say, okay, I got this, this, and this. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah. You ever planned like that? You marked in? Okay. You know what we don't do? We have no calendar when it comes to God. You understand? What about God? What about a calendar for God? What about saying, you know what? Because this is what we do. We know something's coming, and we want to participate in what's coming, but we don't sign up for what's coming because we're so uncertain about our future. That's terrible. Yeah. You're not ready for God to come back if you ain't certain about a future event that's 2 months away.
That's it. That's so.
That's a bell should go off. It should be ringing loud this morning. Yeah. If you can't be certain about what's coming up in 2 months, how can you be certain about when he returns? Yeah. Bells ought to go off. What does God want? This is what he wants. You got to relax. He never failed you, and he won't plan to. David said, I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Never seen it. Do you understand that? Does that mean you're going to be trouble-free? No. Does that mean you're going to be trial-free? No. But when at the end of the day, I can tell you, they'll call you blessed because of the promises of God. That's what he said. And so that's what he wants you to. You remember what he said? And listen, I really want to read 58 again. I'd do Thursday all over again like that. Yeah. What I really want to do. Because there's so many wonderful things in there. Yes. Can you imagine what he wants to do? He says, you don't have no clue what I want to do for you. Don't you want to embrace that? Don't you want that in your life? The things that he has for you. So let's take a week. This week coming. So this week coming, you got stuff lined out. So what are you going to do? And you know, how many knows if you got stuff lined out, and it's, you're going to say, this week's busy. How many's ever said that? I'm busy this week. Somebody might call you and say, hey, can you do that? Man, not this week. Oh, I'm busy this week. So you have a conscious idea of what's going on for the week to come. You know that, all right? So now that you know this week's busy, guess what else? You have to. You have to plan out. You have to have it in there. Now, where am I going to spend the time necessary for me to accomplish this busy week with God? It has to be a conscious thing you think about, just like you did the rest of the stuff. What am I going to do? How am I going to lay out this plan? And as you're praying, you're sitting down in quiet times, little times, not hours, but minutes. How many know minutes is better than no minutes? I want to tell you, you can spend hours doing other things and accomplish stuff. But a minute with God on an encounter, I don't even know how you can gauge how much you've accomplished. It's hard to put how much you accomplished with 1 minute in the glory of Almighty God. There's something about it.
Yeah.
And you can't trade it. Once you experience, you can't trade it. You can't look at your life and say, well, I'd like to do that again at one time. If you're saying that you know about something you at one time used to have, that's nobody's fault. But yours, you got to get that back. You will let the enemy take the priority of stuff, and somehow it's taken its highest position in your life. Don't give up the moment that you can have with God. So what you do, consciously now, remember, consciously, you got to think about it. What I'm going to do this week? There's a certain amount of scripture I want to go through. There's certain stuff that I don't want to get done. I need to get through this. If you're not conscious of sitting down and you talking like that, listen, this is serious business. He could return this year. Do you understand that? Say this is the year. Say you don't have 7 years, which is a short time. But say he says this year, you know what? I'm going to fulfill that first feast day. I'm going to fulfill those fall feasts this time. What if that happens? We shouldn't go. Listen, let me tell you what's the indicator of where you are. Here's how you gauge anybody. If that upsets you because you can't accomplish what's on your regular calendar, it's on your regular calendar, it takes precedent over your expectation for the kingdom to come. Therefore, you're not seeking first the kingdom. I got stuff planned. We got vacations planned. We got countries to see in our plans right now that we're paid for. That means nothing to us. Do you understand that? Nothing can go or override your expectation for the Lord. I hope the Lord returns this year. You think I'm going to care about a paid-for vacation when his face I can see?
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? When his face I can see and I step out this mortal into immortality, you understand? We have lost the value in comparison. We've lost that. And you got to be speaking this away. This is got to be the words that you're speaking, that you have a hunger to spend with God just like that. What happened to church is people was not in relationship with God, they're in relationship with church.
That's it.
We in relationship with the gathering. We in relationship with the activity. And you know what? Sad to church. Church is structured the way where it sets right with people. It should be a challenging session. If you look at Jesus' ministry and how he pastored, it was different. You look at Paul's ministry and how he pastored, it was different. It was different. There were challenging sessions where he challenged people and he says, hey, you can't do that. You got to be, get ready. Listen, start thinking about it. It's right there. The kingdom of God. How many want the kingdom to come? Or is there things that you really like to accomplish other than the kingdom coming? Think about it. Would it be okay if he came this year? If there's any ounce of hesitation on your part when it comes to that, that is where you start your adjusting. That's where you started. Listen, I love what I do. I was talking to some guys yesterday. And we got to talking about what I do and all this stuff. And the guy says, man, you got the best job in the world. I said, you know, I really do. I said, I get to preach the gospel and fish. It's incredible. Like, how a person gets blessed, more blessed than that? Then they get that stare. Because I threw that gospel in there. It's incredible. I love it. But you know what? That was a relationship God made. You don't have to make all your relationships. You think, well, I got to do this. If you trying to control everything you're involved in, that's fine. Go on. How many would like God to do that for you? The people, this is what I tell them all the time. Lord, I'm on the side of my bed. Lord, the people I need to meet today, I will meet. The ones I don't need to meet, it will not happen. I thank you for the encounters that I'm going to have with you and them. You think I'm going to worry about it after I say that? Oh, I wonder who I'm going to meet. What am I going to say? I'm not worrying about that. You know why? I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. I got to put my faith in him. I know that I've been keeping the word and I have been the work that he's expecting from me. Because faith without works is dead. There's no benefit at all. He said it's dead. How many of you know what dead faith is? What do you get out of dead faith? You get nothing. Zero. Nada. So how do you make sure you don't have faith that's dead? It's called works. And nobody wants to preach that message, right? We're not under works no more. We're under the grace of God. We got to do nothing. Really? 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 Isn't that something? He says, you go on and try to do your faith the way you want to do it. And he said, I'll show you my faith by my work. By how my ethics and understanding that God's blessed me and I'm not going to go around poor mouthing or talking nonsense. I'm going to do what God's... And some of you know there's been times that you feel so tired and all of a sudden you get this little burst of energy. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. And you go farther than you thought you could. And it's not that you're doing that because you're reading your Bible. No, you're working, trying to pay for that
house. Food.
That you signed up for. Yeah. Remember that. And you think God's mad at you? He ain't mad at you. Because you can do all of that as long as you don't trade off for the encounter you have with him. Don't trade it off. And don't be giving up your kids. I'm going to give my kids up. You know, I'm keeping the house and the car, but I'm giving my kids up because I got to spend more time with God. You know, we might be laughing, but there's folks that think crazy things like that. That's absolutely ridiculous. Well, you know, me and my wife, we decided we're going to split up because my thoughts in ministry is different than hers. And so I'm going to let her pursue her ministry goals and I'm pursue my ministry goals. And then they have leaders in church that, you know, run 11, 12,000 people. Which message you just sent?
Right.
And then the divorce rate goes to 75% in that church.
Mm-hmm.
All in the name of God. God told me.
That's it.
I can tell you, God didn't tell you anything.
That's it.
You've lost your mind. Because there's no way the scripture would back that up. But what it will back up is you can be like Paul. Paul made his own living. And he never gave up a single encounter with God. Not one time. They're priceless. You can't even begin to put a price tag on what a minute with God is like. And you said, but I don't know, they're not happening for me. You got to seek him while he can be found and call upon him while he's near. You got to do that. He told us that. That's what you got to do. So let me tell you, when you wake up in the morning, it's a real good chance before you get bombarded by that schedule that you say, Father, I just want to tell you I love you. I thank you for being good to me. And you know what? Many lives ended last night, but somehow you saw fit to give me another day. And I want to tell you thank you.
Yes.
And you know what? Those lives lost, they were good people. They're not bad people. But somebody's husband didn't wake up. Somebody's wife didn't wake up. Somebody's grandma and grandpa didn't wake up. Somebody's children didn't get up. But you did. Listen, start your day with an encounter with God, and I can tell you your schedule is going to just be as smooth as you've ever seen anything. Don't give that up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these things shall be added unto you. It's absolutely incredible. Why wouldn't we want it? We the believers. We the ones saying, oh man, people need to start going to church. Yet we going in our relationship squirrely at best. And we want people to come. What about my relationship with God?
Right.
With that intimacy you have with the Father when you talk to him. There's no magic here. Listen, I don't have some magic way of just giving you something and you're going to be all right. I'm just explaining to you the way you get it, this is what you have to do to get it. And it's absolutely incredible. Because we're preparing. We're preparing for a life that's going to be different. Can you imagine going to Yeshua and getting his advice on how we need to do certain things in certain areas? And we get his advice straight from him? Can you imagine that? You know that's going to happen in real time? Right now, we have it through the Word. And now it's by faith. We have to trust this Word. We have to trust what he says. Then it's going to be a reality. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but one day face to face. He's going to say, don't do that, and there won't be no doing that. He's going to say, quit that, and they're going to have to submit to that word. He's going to say, come to the feast, and if they don't, there'll be no rain. I was up this morning just doing little side studies, just little things. And I was going over that scripture, just them little bitty scriptures. He said, if they don't come, I won't give them rain. And if you get no rain, your crops won't do what? Won't grow. And if the crops don't grow, you won't have no
food.
If you don't have no food, you will. Do you understand? That's what he's telling them. This is in the millennium.
Yes.
This is when he's on the throne. Do you understand that? I just want to somewhere, Lord, find some spot. I got no demands on the Lord. Some spot in the kingdom. It would be incredible honor to be resurrected if you die, or to be changed if you're alive and take on immortality and be in the kingdom with Yeshua, be absolutely incredible. That's our goal. That's the hope. And we started on that last week. We had Shavuot, so it's like two Sundays we didn't talk on this, but the hope of the kingdom, that glorious hope, that's what we're after. So let me challenge you today, and then we're going to close. I'm not doing any slides, I guess. Thank you, Lord. I don't need... Hey, you work on them, you use them, sometimes you don't. But I want you to take this challenge this week. I want you to sit down today. You know, we have one service on Sunday. We start on Saturday night. That's really when our worship starts, Saturday night, and it ends on Sunday. I want you to take some time. Sit down. I want to look at your short-term goals that you've set for yourself. And you've set some. Whatever your busy schedule is this week, that's your short-term you hope in accomplishing this week. But then you have some long-term goals because you want to pay your house off at a certain time, pay your vehicle, whatever it is that takes time to do. And you've set all of that. You've done that, and you say, okay, I'm working toward that. And you look at it. If you hadn't sat down and done any of that with any of your stuff, you so far behind with listening to what God would want you to do, you have zero plan for your life. Your life's not planned out. And you can. You got that. There was accomplishments. They was planning their life out in so many years. I'm going to graduate. That's my goal. I'm setting that. And then you got to wait. You wait, and the next year you want to graduate, but it's not happening yet because you still got another year, you see? And once you get there and it all comes, you go, so good. That's accomplishment. You're going to do that. If you get a car and you want to pay it off, you pay it off, you go, wow. You get whatever it is, a boat, whatever it is, a house. You pay it off, you go, man, I don't have to pay that no more. It feels good. You do all that stuff, but where's your plan for your encounters with God? And what are you doing to make sure you accomplish those goals? When's the last time you ever said, man, I didn't have that moment with God today? You know why that's rarely come? Because you didn't plan to have one. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Well, that's kind of what life's going to be to you in the end. But if you plan, take some time, each one of you, take some time and say, Lord, this week, at a certain time in the morning or in the evening, whatever time it is that you want, set a time, say, Lord, I want to spend some time with you, no matter what it is. So you say, well, I need to cancel this. Keep your schedule, and I'll show you how incredible it is when you make sure that you do what God's asked you to do. So, say on a particular day, I get up and I'm going to fish tomorrow. Say I'm going to fish tomorrow on my schedule. So tonight, when I get home, I'm going to rest. Today, I'm going to rest. You probably rarely find me on a Sunday evening snuggled up somewhere with my Bible or my phone going over notes. You rarely see that on a Sunday evening. It happens sometimes late on Sunday. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend time with my family. We're going to laugh. We're going to cut up. We're going to eat. We're going to enjoy. And we have, you know, and I want to be able to do that. And I want to be able to do it without worry. How many's ever worried? You know what you worry about? No, people? Well, if you can't have no food to feed your kids, you don't have the money to pay your bills, that may bring worry. And when you worry, you start getting anxiety about, well, it's not. And it's really troubling. It's hard. And God doesn't want that. So what I would do is, if there was something that the Lord really put on my heart, maybe that tonight, late, before I go to bed, I'm going to look at those scripture. I'm going to look at them. I'll have it by my bed. It's always sitting there. I'll look at it. And I'll read through them and I'll set it down and I'll go to sleep. I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. When I get up, I'm going to sit on side of my bed just for a minute. I'm going to say, Father, it's a great day. It's got to be great. I'm still here. Thank you, Lord. You know about my encounters. And it's going to become habit to you because you're going to usually say the same thing. You know about my encounters, who I'm going to meet and who I don't need to meet. I thank you for working that out for me. I need you today. I need you to give me direction and guidance. And I mean, I didn't feel anything because just say it in the habit. I get up, I start getting dressed. My wife gets up and she puts my bag together, gets coffee made, and then I get my stuff together and I go down to my vehicle. I start my truck. And I always have something I need to listen to, a message. I have to have a message every day. I want a message. I need to hear something. I don't just preach. I listen to message. I want to hear something. So I may have something lined up, several that I've been waiting to get to. I'll make sure I get that set and ready to go. I get in my vehicle, I put it on. Because I have to drive from my house to the marina, and I'm listening to the word of the Lord. And so most of the time I can't finish it, but it stops right where I stop my truck, and I start it. When I get in, I do all what I need to do, but while I'm on the boat throughout the day, how many's ever had this happen? Boy, you look around, you go, boy, God is good, huh? It's amazing. People say, we don't know if they're believers. That's okay. Why we got to put ourselves in a shell? It's okay. You look around and say, boy, God is good. There got to be a creator. Look at this. There ain't no way this could just pop out of nothing. This God is so good. It's a great day today. He's protected us. Anyway, you get in, guess what's still waiting for you the rest of that message? It's about 30 minutes. You can get it in both. So you get home, you finish that. Then you got family, right? You're going to do all your activities, whatever it is. And you may, so you know, maybe you like to watch TV. Watch TV.
Right.
Okay. But there got to be a point. Because you set a goal. Okay. That's over. Now I got my goal set. And you're going to go back to your room. And you're going to pull that word out. You're going to go read that same thing. Maybe it's the same thing. And all of a sudden, because you set a goal, you think God's going to back out on you? No, you set a goal. What happens when you accomplish the goal that you said that he heard? He steps in. And he said, I want to show you this right here. Do it every day. Don't miss a day. Right? And you're getting ready for tour portion. You're going to get that word. You're going to be in service for Bible study. You're going to get that word. You understand? So it's, and you're going to start building this relationship of information with God and those encounters, and you're pursuing him. Now, you set those goals, but the main thing on your heart is, I got to spend time with him. I have to spend time with him. And don't get in the habit of going to God in prayer only when he needs to fix something for you. I mean, he loves you. If you have something to need, you can go. He said, come to me. But don't get in the habit. That's the only time. Have a relationship. It's ongoing. It's growing. It never stops. It never stops. It's always something brand new to learn about God. It's incredible. If he revealed his whole self to us, we would just cease to exist. It would completely obliterate us. We can't handle that kind of glory and holiness. Easing us into it. But make sure you're going in that direction. It's going to be very helpful to you. So try it this week. Try it. Set some goals. Say, I want to spend some time with God and I need an encounter with God. And you say, how do I know I had an encounter with God? You won't be the same. If you get out of it the same, that wasn't an encounter. He said, but I cried. You know what? So people, a lot of people cry. I almost said something. Man, thank you, Lord. You know, you see things and you don't remember. It don't go out, no. You didn't even need to hear that. People cry. People that don't serve God cry. Basically, I was going to say a person that's been crying. But I'll leave that up to you to figure that out. Just because somebody cried don't mean they had an encounter with God. They were emotional struck or something.
Yes.
But you're not, it's more than crying. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelmed.
Yes, it is.
It's literally, you're overwhelmed. Because you're trying to figure out, how is this possible? Mm-hmm. Me, with all my shortcomings, and him, perfect, yet he desires me. How in the world is that possible unless there's a God that loves us so much? With my shortcoming, and he desires me. We ought to want to love him with everything that's in us. Every day we ought to want to love the Lord thy God. Can you understand why he says to these precedents, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Can you understand why he would set that? That's what he said. Thou shalt do these things. Because when he gives, he just gives. It's not based on something. He cares for us. And that's what we should do. We should give ourselves over to God for that encounter without it being based on we expect him to do this, this, and this for us. Should just be because he's God. Now, will he do this, this, and this? You don't know how many times I've come out of those moments and the next person I met was a relationship that God had in holding so he can see to get something to me that I couldn't have got myself. Absolutely incredible. So take some time to do that on a daily basis. You know, everybody would love to just pause life and just go spend a week with God, 2 weeks with God. Don't do nothing else. Problem is, when you pause life and go do that, and you come back, the bills didn't pause. Them hungry kids didn't pause. So he's okay with you having stuff to do in life. You don't think that he knew that we'd wind up here? Absolutely. He knew we'd wind up here. But there's no trade-off. You got to maintain a relationship with God. How many want to do that? Who wants to take the challenge that this week you'll make some adjustments and readjust some things? He'll help you. Promise you he will. Just remember that. He will. Now, somebody turn to Isaiah 58. And read that verse. Read the first verse again, Brother Josh. You read that second one about the Jacob's heritage. Read the one in front of it. 58, 13, was it 12 also? 12, 13, and 14.
It says, verse 12, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age old foundation, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorers of the streets in which to dwell. 13, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Yes. So take some time and think about that this week. Because the next message you'll hear will be framed around the heritage of Jacob. Yes. So take some time to think about it. You remember, you do this and then I'll do that. You do this and I'll do that.
That's right.
Very important. And you know what he's talking about the whole time. Make the adjustment that gives you the chance to spend time with me. Let's make that adjustment. I'd rather know that God is with me when I'm trying to accomplish everything that I have going on in my life. He knows I have to take care of all this stuff. Yet, there's no trade-off. I just want to spend time with the Lord. Telling you, it's absolutely incredible. Get as much word as you can. This week, challenge yourself. I'm going to study more than I ever have. I'm going to get, and you'll notice there's a lot of time you'll find in between. Some people say, I'm looking for an hour. Don't look for an hour. Look for the minutes. Look for the minutes that you can utilize to spend time with God. How many of you ever drives a boat in here? How many know you're driving a long ways to get where you're going now? Sometime an hour, right? Can you imagine? I got my little mask on. I put it on. I get it way up here. And I feel I've done something good when the two spots right there get pretty wet on your way out. Because you can't help it. God's amazing. Just take, don't waste that. Don't sit there for an hour thinking about, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is going on. You already know that. You know that. Think about him. and how good he is. And amazing what happens to your day. Absolutely amazing. Aren't you thankful for the Lord?
Yes.
Father, I thank you today. Thank you for every person here. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to realize that you expect these things of us, not because you want to take over our life. You expect these things because you want our life to be the best that it can be. You want it to be that. You want us to be blessed. You want us, Lord, to succeed without giving up, without failure to spend time with you. You want to show the world that our relationship to you is where the success comes from. And Lord, help us to be just that. Help us, Lord, to be that which you called us to be. Lord, as each person here leaves from this place and we go to our homes and we spend time with family and friends and we rest today, we have this week coming. Lord, help us. Help us to realize that you're always there. You're just waiting patiently for us to step into that area where we spend that time with you. God, we know you're always near. But Lord, help us to get our mind stayed on you. Our mind fixed on the wonders of who you are and what you have accomplished and supplied for us. Everything. It's all there. When I think about what's coming, when I think about our future in you, Lord, it makes me hunger and thirst for it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you for it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you keep your hands on each one that's here. God, that we walk in health. Keep us healthy. Give us wisdom, understanding, Lord, to correct anything in our life, Lord, that we need to, that we walk in health and abide in that health that you have supplied for us. Lord, we stand against every type of lie, manipulation from the enemy. God, we've all in our past, when we've allowed ourselves to be susceptible, to be fooled. I ask you, God, to give us wisdom and understanding. The understanding and the wisdom, Lord, to accomplish that which you want for us. I just pray strength to each one here, Lord. No matter what they got going on, how busy they may be, I pray, Lord, that you would give them strength and energy to accomplish those tasks. And God, without compromise, not one single bit, that we will give up that moment, those moments, those intimate moments with you where we have that encounter. It's so incredible. And we should sense the love and feel the love from you, Lord, in those moments. God, we wouldn't want to trade it for anything. And I just pray, Lord, that urgency would be on the hearts and lives of every person here. God, that is important. It's valuable. Because one day, as these graduates, one day, will we wear the robe? Will we really stand in that place? Will we be given the reward? Will it be handed out to us? God, my prayer is that we can be faithful to what you've requested from us. Lord, you've laid out the plan. You've given us the commands. I'm asking you, Lord, help us and empower us to obey and do what you've called us to do. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday for Bible study and Saturday night's Torah portion.